Success in business isn't just about what you know. It's about who you align with. So no one builds an empire alone. And I'm saying this all the time. Stop trying to do this alone. Because today we're diving into the power of collaborations, how they can really transform business and start impacting what it is that you want to do in your life and business. Our next speaker is a dynamic business leader, financial educator, and branding strategist who understands how to leverage relationships for massive success. Meet Alicia Fitz. She is the Assistant Vice President of Business Development and Community Relations at the Financial Institute and the CEO and founder of Alicia Fitz Consulting and Marketing Solutions. Now, Alicia is a marketing professional, financial literacy educator, and a Christian business coach who empowers entrepreneurs to activate their faith and build wealth through smart collaborations. Now, she is the author of Thank You for the Mountain. Don't you like that? I love that title, where she helps women overcome financial barriers by blending faith and financial wisdom. Alicia has been recognized as one of Augusta's Business Daily's 24 Women to Know in 2024, awarded the Rotary Club of Aiken Raising Stars, and featured in Augusta's magazine Top 10 in 10 Young Professionals to Watch. Now, she's a powerhouse, y'all, in business development and a firm believer that strategic partnership are the key to growth. So today, she is showing you how to build these powerful collaborations that will elevate your brand, expand your influence, and create a new opportunity for wealth. Yes, let's say it, y'all. All right, so let's give a warm welcome to Alicia Fitz. Welcome.
I'm so glad to be here. What an introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm really glad you're here. I say this a lot, right? Because since I'm helping women create coaching businesses, one of the things that I realized when I was coming up in the game in like 2002, 2003, whatever it was, I was doing a lot of it alone. I felt very lonely. I felt like I didn't have anybody to strategize with. It was just not fun. And it wasn't until I think 2018 or so when I started to seriously get very serious about my craft that I realized if I don't collaborate, I'm in trouble, right? Because I realized that I had an old way of thinking, a scarcity mindset. Oh, everybody's going to be wanting to take my things and blah, blah, blah. That old scarcity mindset that keeps us broke as a joke, okay? And once I flipped that, everything flipped for me. So I'm so glad you're here so we can talk about this, because this is going to be super powerful for these women who are here. And I want to start off with the role of collaboration for us to grow as business women. So many entrepreneurs try to build it all alone. I know I did. It was terrible. And a lot of us are starting to feel stuck and overwhelmed, and we just don't know why. So I wanted you to start off with why. Like, why is collaboration such a game changer for long-term success since we're starting to build and grow our businesses? Let's start off with that.
Of course, Nina, I think that it's key for especially minorities and minority business owners and women that we collaborate. And I'm just thinking about what you just said, even about your story. I do believe that we have a season where we are supposed to work and build alone. I call that lock-in season, right? We have to lock in on what our business, whatever goal we have, a product, really hear from God, seek Him, and see what it is that He'd have us to do. But there is a transitional phase, you know, that if you're not cognizant of when you're in that phase, you've secured yourself enough as far as you've built yourself enough, but God wants us to collaborate and build community so that our business can grow. You're not designed to stay isolated in that space of building. You won't build to the level of where He would like for you to go. So you have to recognize the transitional phase of now it's time to collaborate and build collaborative relationships. And so once you're in that season of collaboration, so that you don't remain stuck, and it's time to start building, I want you to build healthy, very emphasis on healthy collaborative partnerships, making sure that those collaborative partnerships are in alignment with your business brand and goals. So I think the game changer really for me is really honing in and building like-minded relationships. And also, you talked about scarcity mindset. I've dealt with that. There was an instance where there was someone where God told me, he said, Alicia, I need you to reach out to this person because you're going to need some help from this person. And I want someone else, another organization I was working with, needed financial services. I said, but why would I do that? We do the same thing. I said, we're very similar. She's a speaker in our craft. We do a lot of the same things. And I was like, why would I do that? We do the same thing. He said, just to do what I told you to do. So I did, and I felt convicted in my spirit because he talks to me about covetousness, what that looks like of hoarding and not sharing and collaborating with one another. And we had the best experience when we met together. And that was a game changer for me as far as just learning. God has created the need for your business, Alicia's business, especially when it's kingdom-minded. We don't have to feel super finite in the competition because the need has already been created for what you have. And then also the people that you serve, we're called to different people, our influence. So it's very important to have a shared experience in collaboration with one another where you don't really, it removed for me that feeling of scarcity because it's already been secured in the kingdom for me. So we can share, but he will show you the right relationships to collaborate with.
I could not agree with that more because, you know, as you were talking, like I wrote some things out, like lock-in season. And even in that stage of the lock-in season, you're not alone because you're with God, right?
That's right.
So it's God is constantly trying to collaborate with us in all the stages of our life. And I love that you started with the lock-in season. I think it's super important for us to really recognize what it is God wants for us in our life. So even in this stage, you are not alone, ladies. You are not alone. And I love that you said transitioning into collaboration with healthy relationships that are in alignment. That is so powerful right there because a lot of times we don't pause, Alicia, to figure out, is this aligned with what I want? Is this healthy? Is this somebody I want to be locked in with? Because you might not even like them a couple of weeks later. So you got to make sure you're locked in the right way. And I love that you talked about that because that's very true. And I think something that most of us who are here that are either starting their businesses or trying to grow, you really need to understand that piece because I know that I've had in the past my other businesses, partnerships that didn't work out. And right. That can leave you feeling hurt. It could leave you feeling a little jaded, all that kind of stuff. But God is first. And if you're making him the CEO and you're collaborating with God, all the rest of it, it's going to fall into place. It says God is good. Now, whether you want it to fall into that place that you're trying to make it fall into, you have to just trust God. Just trust him, lean on him, and know that he got your back big time, right?
Well, so, he's the best business partner to have.
For real. Like, seriously, for real. And I wanted to transition into that, right? Because finding the right collaboration partner is something we all have to work on. Not all partnerships are created equal, right? Lord God knows that not all partnerships are created equal. The interesting thing is, too, when you were talking, I was thinking about how even Christ had 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even he could have done it alone because he's God. But he also wanted us to show a community, collaboration, working with one another. And the fact that we have gotten so far removed from that is what's causing depression, anxiety, all of this stuff that's happening because we are feeling like, oh, yeah, just gonna, do this me, myself, and I, like the song from back in the day, me, myself, and I. And so the world has taught us that because when you can keep somebody isolated, I call that the devil's playground. Right. Because when you're alone, that's when he comes and tries to play with you. So you need collaboration. So since not all partnerships are created equal, I wanted you to talk about how all of us here as entrepreneurs can identify the right people to collaborate with so that we can really start avoiding all the partnerships that are going to hurt us. Now, I will say, I know you don't have the magic pill because people act one way when they come into your collaboration and act another way when they're in. But Can you guide us on that a bit?
Absolutely, yes. First, what's coming to me is that we have to learn from our previous experiences, right? What those experiences where we were burned from having, where we made some mistakes in some collaborative relationships that we set up on our own. We need to evaluate those and what can I do better the next time when creating a new partnership? Because that's happened to me starting my business. I've gone into some spaces with collaborative partners, and I just need to take back some time to reflect. Take some time to reflect on those experiences. And then next, I would like to say, like you were saying, Christ led by example. Okay. So you want to, he had partners and the disciples. So I think that's what was important as well, is that we need to understand not to do things in our own strength. Because that can create burnout when it comes to not having collaborative partners. So it's very important that we open up our eyes and perspective to receive new partnerships. And for me, it's been seeking the Lord for discernment. Discernment is the ability to judge well. We can only do that, really, those experiences that we've had, right? As well. And it can be tricky in this business world. Like, I try to give a fair opportunity to everybody, but if there's someone that you respect and you have a couple people that you respect and they keep saying the same thing about this person, that you're going to be burned, you're probably going to be burned, right? So don't be naive as well. And also, I want you to trust your gut, right? I've had some situation where it just didn't really sit right. And I still collaborated anyway. I think we've all been there before. And then it didn't work out that like you would have liked for it to. So ultimately, trust your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it's probably not going to be right for your business. And you've worked too hard to see the things that you tried to build be dismantled. And I do also believe that the Bible says that we should look at other people's fruit, right? So what fruit has this person bared? And not completely what the fruit doesn't mean, just the money, right? Because sometimes small business owners, they're just starting out. But I also look at their heart, their character, their integrity, their circle, their relationships, their influence. Who are they? Who's attracted to them and following them? What types of people are they are in their push circle? You look at all the things. We have to be intentional about these relationships, especially if you really honor in stewarding the business that God gave you. And so make sure that it's a right fit for you. Watch the company that they keep. Be intentional about these relationships. And ultimately, when you are creating and collaborating for a kingdom purpose, what I've seen happen to me, if I miss the discernment and I don't let the relationship go, God will ultimately make it fizzle away. So, and he'll remove the person out of the way, but you still have to take the time to reflect and learn from that lesson. So I'm going to say heightened discernment, trusting your gut, being open to new relationships as well, and looking at their fruit, watching everything, being intentional about their circle, who this person is. We've got to question everything.
Because everybody comes into your life, I think, for either a season or longer. And so sometimes we have to be careful on how we're collaborating, because we are sometimes a little bit confused, at least from some of the women I speak to, with either having strategic partners that are like strategic or surface level. And so many people network, but they don't build strategic alliances. They don't know the difference. They are like, oh, I met this person on Facebook group and we hit it off. Okay, but is that going to strategize and help you move to the next level? So sometimes, yes, it's great. Like I had a woman that to one of the coaching programs I was going to join. I decided not to because God was like nudging me the different way. She ended up going, paid a lot of money because I was going to pay for it too, and left burnt out and with nothing. So then she wanted to collaborate with me. But about maybe 5 or 6 months in, I realized she's a person who says but not does, right? Dang. So that's a little bit hard when you're trying to be strategic with people, and especially with this relationship I had with her, and nothing was bearing fruit on her end. And I'm like, are you even doing this stuff? You know what I'm saying? She's like, oh, I've been really busy. I'm like, okay. So that's probably why you just paid 30 grand for a program and you didn't move forward. So I wanted you to talk to us about that because many people, they want to go network. So they're on these Facebook groups and Alignable and LinkedIn and all this stuff, but they don't build strategic alliances. So I wanted you to talk to all of these women here about the difference between true, like real collaboration and just maybe some casual networking. They're both important, but I just want them to know the difference. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. You just said it, Nina, following God's promptings, following his he'll order our steps and building these relationships. I believe the relationships that have been sent to me have been divine, you know, knowing where to place these relationships and trusting God for the provision. Where are you placing me? Why am I here? Asking those questions. I've got to add, you got to look at your life, right? So in my season of life right now, I don't believe in casual networking because I believe that time is money. I'm intentional about my time and where I spend my time. And I have to be when I look at the full scope of my life. I'm a wife and a mother of three. You got to look at what is my life. Do I have time for casual networking right now? Reality is, no, I don't. Sometimes I am have some business meeting or a presentation of some sort, networking event. And then I have to run right back home and finish up my son with a presentation or a project. There's always something going on. And so I'm just very intentional about my time with casual networking. So I'm networking. If you're networking, I want you to make sure that you make this networking, if it's going to be casual, make sure it's purposeful. Research everything about the networking event. What is this something that's going to benefit you? How will it benefit you? Is this somewhere you need to be right now? Just be purposeful about the casual networking and also be purposeful with the strategic collaborations like leadership positions, long-term, like looking at the full scope of where this will take your business and how you can be of a service to whatever organization you're going to be supporting for business efforts in collaboration. I believe that true collaboration, strategic partnerships, they blossom and grow over time. So make sure that we nourish these relationships strategically and we align the goals and set clear expectations for the partnerships that we have. So I want us to think about when we select a collaborative partner to succeed, we want them to succeed just as much as we want our own business to succeed. When we have these strategic partnerships, we want to have meetings and talk about what it is that you would like to see from your business and how can you be of help to them as well. So it's not one-sided. Be fair. I spoke about this earlier. I learned this the long way, but in 1 Samuel 16, the story of David and Saul, God creates the need for your business, your products, your brand. So we don't have to be focused on the competition as much as it. We don't have to have the scarcity mindset. We can, as long as we are in alignment with true collaborative goals, understanding that we can nourish the relationship, being purposeful about this, having a clear conversation and clarity amongst both parties, then you can be wise. I want you also to be wise with your selection of collaborative partners.
I love that. So, okay. So I think that's important for us to really think about how we're going to collaborate with them, right? Because you're right. I think there's so many different conversations and true transparency that we need to have when we're speaking to somebody we're going to partner with, right? Like I partner with a few people, but I make sure that we are both strategically aligned on the outcome and the goal, right? Right. So that's one of the questions that I wanted to make sure we touched on today, because building these real strategic alliances, these are just true conversations that you really have to start having. And if it's just, I love what you said. I don't be casually networking. I don't got to.
I'm sorry to feel that way.
No, I love that. I love that. Right? Because
we have to look at what phase of life we're in. There may be a time where my kids get older, where I will have that kind of time, but that is, I have 3 children under 6.
Right.
So.
Right. Ain't nobody got time.
Ain't nobody got time.
Oh, that's so funny. That is very true, though. That is very true. And so that goes right into my next question, because then that means you really want to be strategic about something that's going to bring in prosperity and abundance, especially when it comes with collaboration. So I want to talk about that, because I want to really talk about maybe some of these women who are here, maybe they could collaborate with each other. And I want them to understand how women can collaborate in a way that is going to benefit both parties financially while ensuring that you're going to have some fairness, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's something to maybe collaborate with someone. It's another thing to make sure you are clear enough that you guys know that this is what's going to happen with both parties, whether it's a 50-50 split, whether it's, yay, you take 90, I take 10. I don't know what that is, but what I do want you to tell them is how they can collaborate in a way that benefits both of them financially, mm-hmm. while ensuring that they're going to be fair and that they're going to have some long-term success with this so that they're not burnt at the end.
Yes, this is great. Let's talk about it. Okay, ladies, so what I want you to do is, first, we're standing on business, okay? I can only teach you about, I teach from my past mistake. And I learn from my mistakes, and I apply the knowledge of my mistakes. What we want to first do is establish a contractual agreement that mutually benefits both parties, yourself and the person. You want to have a meeting and talk about it, right? And then also be clear in the terms and conditions to make sure that it benefits the both of you, both parties. Be clear on expectation of both parties. I collaborate. I'm open to collaboration with the right person on many projects or leadership groups. But what I've learned is sometimes, and I'm sure some of you ladies can relate, you're the person that can have the takeover spirit, and you have the gifts, talents, and skills, and the other person has things as well. And so they will depend on you to carry all the weight becomes shifted on you. And then you sit back and you think, we didn't talk about who would do this in this project, who would be responsible for this. And sometimes you don't know until it comes up. But when it comes up, have the conversation right then and there. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. And you want to have it in writing so that both of you understand, because what it could happen is it could be a messy situation with lawyers, and then you end up losing your time and all the investments that you put into the project or whatever it is that you have gone forth to establish together, and that person ends up benefiting more but you put in all the work. So it's very important that we learn from our mistakes and set clear expectations, okay, about the project. We want to do that in the beginning stages of the contractual agreement. And then even tossing about, are you going to offer in-kind services or pro bono services for free? And what are your limitations on that? Think about that too. And you also talk about that to that collaborative partner. Okay. And then also we want to discuss everything, payment processes, who's going to be handling that, who's going to be invoicing, both, what are your fees? What are your fees? What are their fees to be charged? In non-disclosure agreements, you don't want someone talking about your business idea that you're sharing together to everybody. So you want, definitely, I believe, in non-disclosure agreement, protecting your idea and whatever you're launching until it's timing. You don't want people to release it beforehand on certain business ideas you may have. And also with collaborative partnerships, will this person have access to your client? And what are the limitations of that access? That's something else that you want to think about as well. You want to talk about that. And then ultimately, if this checklist doesn't work, then be okay with saying, this is not the right partner for me. This, we're not in alignment. This is not going to work. And let it go and move on. But I do think that we have to stand on business. I don't care how friendly you may be or the other person may be. You have to have these conversations and don't be afraid. Be bold about it.
So I really love that. And I love that you have a checklist for people, right? I think people really need to understand that's okay. And it's okay to walk away from something too. Like you can start something and quickly realize, I don't think this is going to work for me. And that's okay. And especially if you're towards the beginning, it's good anytime, honestly. But if you're towards the beginning, for sure, it's okay to walk away. And another thing is don't let somebody bully you either. Like really stand your ground. If you're not agreeing with that, it's okay for you to say you're not agreeing with it because they are collaborating with you as well. It's not just you. All right. This is one of the things that happens to a lot of us, Alicia, is the fact that we have tons of limiting beliefs. So we don't think we're good enough. And then if somebody comes up who's a little bit maybe more bolder or more forward, then people can tend to take the back seat and let that person shine. And then they feel burnt out about it. No, they are collaborating with you too. So they need something from you as much as you need something from them. Now being done well, just like Alicia said, getting a contract together, making sure you guys have clear terms on there on what is to be done, who is to be shared, what money's to be spent or how it's to be split. That has to be done. I cannot stress that enough. I cannot stress that enough. And also the workload, how much workload is one person going to take? What's the other one going to take? And it's because if you guys don't get that clear, this is going to cause some major issues because you're going to be like, wait a minute, we went on that together. And why is she getting 60%? I'm getting 40, or I'm the one that found that client. So why is she it's a hot mess. It is a hot mess. So just make sure that you understand that you have to be clear. Alicia, that was awesome. I love that you gave them that checklist because you can do a coaching business alone. But here's the thing, everyone who's listening, just listen up, okay? Mm-hmm. Coaching businesses, when you get into it, you have to understand that you are running a service-based business where you are serving people. Here's the thing, I need you to hear me. Mm-hmm. Unless you are going to bring in something into your coaching business, so basically a software that you sell, a system that you sell, something like that, your business cannot be resellable. Okay, listen to me. I know a lot of people say, I'm going to build up a six-figure, seven-figure business. I'm going to sell it for millions. That's not how this works. Even Tony Robbins is having a hard time selling it because his name is Tony Robbins. Okay? So unless he develops systems, which is what he's doing now, right, with Dean Graziosi, and they're doing all these systems where they put everything together in funnels and blah, blah, blah. That part of it, he can probably sell. But the Tony Robbins part needs Tony Robbins, right? I need you guys to understand that. So if something, God forbid, happens to you and you're bringing in a big amount of money to your business, then I need you to start thinking about how do I protect then the business or my family if something happens, right? So think about all of those things, contracts, how to talk about insurance is good. If you have a good partnership with somebody and you guys have a strong partnership, you can actually get a life insurance policy against your partner for whatever money they bring into the business. And that way, if that person passes away, you could still continue your business without a beat because you're going to get the money from the life insurance policy and vice versa, or they will, that'll help protect the business. Okay. So I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah. So funny. But yeah, I think that's important, right? Because a lot of times we feel very intimidated and we feel hesitant and we don't know how to bring a partner in and how do we do that? And that's something that I've thought about often. Do I want to bring a partner in? So now I have collaborations, not a partner in my business, but I have collaboration with other businesses where we then grow and expand somebody else's business, right? And that's collaboration. That's not partnership. So there's a difference. And I just wanted people to understand that because a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to grow an amazing life coaching business and then I'm going to sell it for billions. Nobody's done that. It's not happening unless you bring in some sort of software, you know, something tangible, a product. Exactly. You have to, because right now when you are a coach, what you're selling is you and your expertise and your knowledge and your God-given talent to serve the world in that way and help your family. But if you think that you're getting into this for money and to do all, it's not going to happen that way. And I'm not busting a bubble. I'm giving you a reality check because I want you to stand on what it is God has helped you create as opposed to thinking what the world tells you to create. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it's not really about how much money you can make. Right.
It's about
how many people you're going to serve. That's where we're shifting from money mindset to purpose.
Exactly. So, that's the difference. But you do want to make money. That's also important. It's just a matter of just knowing what lane you're in, I think is what I'm trying to say. So I try to have these candid conversations with the people in my program because I want them to win. I want them to win. And if you are candid and truthful, then at least that way they have a standing on, okay, wait a minute. Building a coaching business takes time. Okay, I need to have strategy. All right, hold on. I got to have systems. I have to have all, instead of just thinking that you're going to build something and they will come. That's not how it works. Okay. So entrepreneurs, Alicia, as you feel intimidated and hesitant to reach out to anybody for partnerships, collaboration, anything. So I wanted you to give these ladies some strategies on ways they can approach that potential collaboration and do it with confidence so that they know that they have value and that they could step up and do this. So help us with that.
Of course, I would love to. I'll just tell you what works for me. So I have a great colleague, mentor, and friend. He's a legendary businessman, thanks Ed Presnell. But the best words that he shared with me that has worked tremendously in my business development and community relations career is he says, tell someone, I need your help. These four words are so key. And it's worked for me. And what is that? When we really break that down and we say, I need your help. You tell Nina, I need your help. What we're doing is we are humbling ourselves. And for me, it removes the initial fear of asking for help or asking for someone to collaborate with me, right? We're showing them that I need what you have, right? I trust in my abilities. But you have something that I need. And so you want to find a way to help them in that as well. And so you open up the door to that discussion, right? To me, it takes the pressure off the ask. It's just to say, hey, I need your help. And then it really makes the conversation flow really well. So that's one strategy and tactic that really has helped me when I am going into conversations for sponsorship consultancy or needing some support in my business efforts or trying to create partnerships, to sign, say, hey, I would like your help. Or could you do me a favor or something of that sort? But just opening that door, and it's very humbling. And the person, sometimes they'll go out of their way to help you when you humble yourself.
Oh my gosh, that is probably the best advice ever, because most of us don't do that. We don't do that. We don't think about doing that. Or if we do, we get afraid to do that. What are they going to think of me? Are they going to think I'm not good enough? Are they going to think that I don't have enough knowledge? What are they going to say? Mm-hmm. It is so silly. Everybody needs help.
It works. Yeah, we all need help. That's what it takes.
Yeah, exactly. That's so brilliant. So brilliant. I love that. And I love that advice. I'm glad he gave you that advice because that'll serve you well throughout your whole journey. Like when I need advice, I ask. Listen, all you can say is no. You know what I'm saying? If you say yes, though, that's great. That means I have some help. And that happens, right, Alicia? I'm sure.
But the Bible also says, ask and ye shall receive. So we have to have the confidence to open up our mouth and ask. If we don't, and it's okay. Another coach that I know, she says, go for no. The more no's that we get will lead to yeses as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We have to be okay with receiving no. Okay, I got a no, I'm closer to my yes. It's reframing our mindset.
Yeah, I was reading the Bible this morning and I was reading you just said that and reminded me of something I was reading in Genesis where, you know, Abram, he's a trip. He was always giving his wife away to the kings and saying, that's my sister. And there was one of them where I forgot which king, but anyway, God says to him, I didn't allow you to touch her. I didn't allow you. So I was like, all right, God. Because I'm like, that's what the no's mean. If people are saying no, and you are truly a believer, then you have to believe that it's God telling them to say no. And it's no for your good. So even if you're looking at something and you're like, oh, but that's what I want. God is going, not yet, my daughter, not yet. Not then, not yet, not now. But the whole point is that if you lean into truly trusting your CEO, which should be God, if you are truly leaning into that, then you should be able to say, oh, God said no. Let's move on. God
said
no.
Protection is God's protection in redirection. Right.
Right. I love that. I love that.
See when he has taken us into another route, and I just say, okay, I trust you. I'm going to keep it moving.
Amen. Amen. And I just think that people need, I'm talking to me too. I need to lean on that more sometimes. Like sometimes I really want something and it doesn't happen. And I'm just like, but why? And God, stop whining. Stop being a freaking baby. I said no. And that's it. You know what I'm saying?
And we all do it. Yeah.
I know. And then later. Right. Yeah. Crying in a girl. Yes, I do that. I do that too. Here's the cool thing.
Oh, I'm alone. Okay.
No, girl. No, I never know when it's the water or my tears. But here's the thing. What I love is that God will show you later how he protected you in that. And you didn't even know it.
I love that when good. That happened. Yes.
So, I know. I love it,
he's
too.
He's a master strategist, so I actually do believe that. So
me too.
When I see 6 months later, oh, that's why we did this. And it really turns out to be beautiful.
I love that so much. All right. We are wrapping up. But before I let you go, I do want these women to know what you have for them, but and also how they can reach out to you, how they can speak with you, all of that great stuff so that they can grow themselves. So let's get that from you. Let's get it.
Let's get it, guys. I enjoyed myself here with Nina Perez. She is so wonderful at the Women Who Lead Summit. Thank you so much for the time spent today with each of you. How you can stay in touch with the Alicia Fitz brand, please visit my website, www.aliciafitz.com. Also, please follow me on Facebook, Alicia N. Fitz, Instagram, it's Alicia Fitz, and LinkedIn. Yes, I do check my LinkedIn and I keep it refreshed. I'm like probably one of the only ones, but Alicia N. Fitz as well. And email address, contact me at hello@aliciafitzconsulting.com.
All right. Alicia, you are a true gem. Thank you so much for being here and for leading these women into really realizing that they can have really strong collaborations if they do everything well. And just lean on God, lean on trusting him, and really just take your checklist and just start checking things off. Okay, Alicia said do A, make sure I do B, because if you do that, you're going to win. Okay, so Alicia came out of her own goodness of her heart to make sure she spent this time giving you tools and strategies and tips, all of that for you to grow and expand your business. So thank you guys for being with me and Alicia today. This is the Women Who Lead Summit.
Welcome to the winner's circle.
That's it. Bye.